Welcome to the Gravity Podcast, where we host conversations on developing a Christian spirituality rooted in love that fosters resilient faith in everyday life.
Matt, if you don't want to keep quoting Stephen Curtis Chapman accidentally, you are going to have to stop listening to his music. Welcome to the Gravity Commons Podcast, everybody.
I love what you just did there. Way to go, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
I see what you did there, Ben. You're just diving in, going deep.
Just diving in.
Yeah.
Going. Yeah. That was literally what got said right before I hit record. I said, we're diving in. And then I said, to quote Stephen Curtis Chapman. Anyway, so I thought I'd just reverse the
polarity.
Turn the tables. Reverse the polarity on you. And just see how that went. So I'm glad I got a laugh out of Christy. So
it was good.
Listener, I got a wry smile out of Matt as well. So
yeah,
you couldn't see that, but
anyway. I was really proud of you, Ben. I mean, I was.
Have you been praying for me
all this
time?
Hard work has paid off. Now you're just as much of a scoundrel as I am.
you've corrupted me. Okay.
Hey,
happy election day, y'all.
Yeah, goodness. This is releasing. You may not be listening to this on Election Day, but it is being released. If all goes according to plan, it will be released on Election Day. So
yeah. I voted early. So.
Okay. So did I.
Everybody vote early here?
I did not. I was going to ask you guys if you had any big Election Day plans. And you guys, since you voted early, maybe you're just taking the day off. I don't know. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I have a priest outfit. And so I'm going to put that on.
Halloween was last week.
So. I'm going to put on my priest outfit and go to this church that I have the access code to. That also is a polling place. And I'm going to walk around as a priest in the polling place that is this church for the day and pray for our country.
That's good. That's so much more spiritual than what I'm doing.
Not to intimidate people. I thought you were going to say to intimidate people, but okay.
I will have holy water. And if I see you wearing... If I see you wearing any kind of political paraphernalia I don't agree with, I will low-key splash you with it.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
You'll get slightly wet.
No, you know, everything's an event in our house. Everything.
Election Day included?
So we have family nights on Tuesday nights. And so guess what? Family night, it's like election day. So I'm making like a Jell-O pretzel salad, but I'm going to make it look like a flag. And we're going to have red, white, and blue food. And... Oh my gosh. I don't know.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to try to make it fun, y'all, because I feel like a lot of people are just dreading this and like fear and anxiety and like all of it. And I'm like, I'm just pushing that aside and going, we're just going to believe that things are going to be good.
Okay.
Like Ted Lasso.
That's wonderful.
Exactly. I'm going to hit the sign, I believe. Yeah,
that's wonderful. I need to speak to like our six Gen Z listeners real quick. Mm-hmm. So you guys can take five. Gen Z, Christy just talked about a dish that I think was invented by NASA called Jell-O. Now, Jell-O is made from water and dried horse hooves and food coloring. And
sugar.
It's delicious.
Back in 1972, someone decided to start putting other kinds of food into the Jell-O.
I'm pretty sure it was my mom. She was the one.
She decided to do
Christy's mom, Oma, started putting various bits of fruit, and Christy referenced pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
And then people would have parties at their house. This is before essential oils. they would come over to people's homes and they would show various Jell-O molds. So you could bring a duck Jell-O, a Jell-O mold in the shape of a duck with pretzels and cat food in it. And that was, you know, a very Merry Christmas. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's what Christy's talking about. I don't know if anybody under the age of 45 still puts bits of food in Jell-O.
Except for me, I'm putting raspberries in.
It's the perfect medium when you think about it. It really everything is. Suspends all nice in there.
It's great.
When you said Jell-O with pretzels in it, I did have a visceral memory of a church potluck when I was, I don't know, probably 11 years old, 10 years old. Church basement, you know, the church I grew up in, and somebody would always bring this dessert that was a Jell-O mold that always had pretzels and like little bits of like fruit cocktail in it, I think, you know, like pears and pretzels, green Jell-O. And then the bottom of the Jell-O was this like cream cheese crust.
Yes, that's what I'm making.
That's what you're making.
Yep. Pretzel crust.
I loved that dessert. That was a great dessert. And I love potluck because that's the only time. I mean, my mom didn't really make dessert at home, but at potluck, there's tons of desserts. I love potluck.
Because they call that pretzel Jell-O salad stuff a salad in the Midwest.
Right. It's a salad. Right. Yeah. Yes. It's not a dessert.
It's not a dessert.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Yes. Anyway, that's what I'm doing tonight, y'all.
I love it. Love it.
Election night Jell-O mold. Ben, you're coming to my house tonight, which is we're recording this before election day. You're coming tonight. And you said you're going to bring some Brussels sprouts.
I did.
Maybe you could whip together a Jell-O mold.
That is a great idea.
I just realized
I've never made anything like that in my life.
So easy. You mix it up in a bowl. You put it in the fridge. Inside the fridge with the light off, little, I think they're gnomes, come out.
Yeah.
And they agitate.
And they
gnome it up and it becomes gelatinous.
Yep.
And then you pull it out of the fridge.
Is that a word? I feel like you are gelatinous a wordsmith. Is a that word. Really? Is it?
Yeah, it really is a word.
That's a great word.
You're teaching me something.
Yep.
Okay. It really, really is
it
a word.
It means having the character of gelatin.
I'm sorry, listener. You didn't get on here to learn about Jell-O. You got on here to listen.
You got on here to help you know what to do on election day. Anyway,
yeah,
we do want to talk about that.
We're talking to our friend Timothy McCain. You know him. I'm sure every single person listening has listened to all 200 plus episodes of the Gravity Commons podcast. We've had Timothy McCain on before. Today we're talking to him. There's only six of them, and I gave them some time earlier. Now it's Timothy.
I think. All
right. Timothy has a book out called Honest Conversations: Talking to Understand, Not to Win, and we're chatting about that with him today. There's a lot to say about Timothy. He's an evangelist who travels the country speaking about Jesus and the good news and the gospel, travels all over the world. We'll put his link in the show notes. He and his wife have a ministry together, both local and parachurch. He's written a number of books before. We just thought we'd put this out today here on Election Day because it does seem like learning how to have a conversation over difference could be a vital skill today and in the coming weeks. So,
yes,
let's get into it, eh?
Yep.
Timothy McCain, welcome back to the Gravity Commons podcast.
Oh, come on, somebody. Thank you so much for having me.
Timothy, how did we meet? Was it Josh?
Josh Hawkins. He is that dude, by the way. Josh Hawkins out of Indiana met through there, through him.
Yeah. And state of Indiana. And you knew Josh because of, and I'm going to give you a chance to talk about what you do. You knew Josh because of what you do. We knew Josh because of the relationships you had developed up in Fort Wayne.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I lived up in Fort Wayne, I think he was also up there at that time, which is how you got to know Josh as well, right? We have this Fort Wayne connection. Isn't that right?
That's it. That's it.
And Timothy and I go way back.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know, like 4 minutes ago. Oh.
I'm like, so oh snap.
We're real good. I know. He was like, wait a minute. Did I meet you in kindergarten?
Shoot, I forgot.
Well, part of what Timothy does is he travels and speaks. He's an evangelist. And so it's very likely that Timothy, that people you've met, you don't remember. So I can see the look in Timothy's eyes like, oh gosh.
Like, oh snap.
Since the last time we chatted, Timothy, you have been busy, man. You've started a church, yeah? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. We planted a church here in DeLand, Florida. It's called the Mesa Community Church. The Mesa is table in Spanish. And just our heartbeat is that, like you read in the book of Acts, they went the house to house breaking bread and church multiplied. So the church that is intentionally multi-ethnic and multicultural, a place where for authentic community, where people can belong before they have to behave, that sort of good stuff. So, so it's been an adventure, and we've been meeting at our house, but we are looking for a building right now. So, yeah, the Mesa Community Church, www.themesacc.org.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's basically our church is called the Table, which is English for the table.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead. I need Rosetta Stone for that one. All right.
That's great, man. It's been kind of a wild time to plant a church, right? I know a lot of churches didn't make it through COVID. A lot of people didn't return to church after COVID. I read a statistic a couple weeks ago about estimates are between 8 million and 20 million people have left churches since 2016, which is there's a great like de-churching, and part of I think why that's happening is that Christians have this is not the cause of it, but part of why that's happening I think is we Christians have gotten a reputation for not being very good listeners, you know. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to chat with you, because you've written a new book it's about listening in many ways. It's called Honest Conversations, Talking to Understand, Not to Win. Give us an idea about how this book came to be.
Yeah, man. Incredible. Most of my life, I've been to ministry right before I was in high school, out of high school. So been about 20 years, been in full-time ministry. Most of it has been, even the conversation we had last time we were on the podcast, but most of my life I've been a Black man in white spaces. And so traveling the nation and traveling the world and an individual that breaks the glass ceiling, being the first Black person someone has literally ever had a sit-down conversation with, preaching in places, churches built by the KKK and all these different things, you end up being in a place where you have face-to-face encounter with misinformation. And we're living in a place where so many people desire to have a conversation, but from the pedestal of their own soapboxes, instead of having authentic conversations around a coffee table or dinner table. So I wrote Honest Conversations because I believe if we're ever going to see any kind of healing, momentum, transformation, and change in the world, we got to get to the place in where we can connect with one another in a real authentic way. So Honest Conversation is an acronym. It stands for honoring, observant, nice, empathetic, sincere, and teachable. Now, I got to keep it a buck with y'all. The word shouldn't be nice, all right? The word should be kind, right? They're two different words, right? But if I use the word kind, it would jack up my acronym. I don't want all that. And so, it's Honest Conversation. And the heart of, again, is the talking to understand, not to win. Is it okay if I read the back of the book?
Sure, man. It's your book.
Yeah, go for it.
Awesome. Honest Conversations is a book that will help the reader better grasp the art of communication. We live in an amazing world with so much diversity, which should be celebrated rather than tolerated. Our differences, cultures, experiences, lifestyles, and more as individuals should be explored and shared without the risk of feeling misunderstood due to a lack of an attempt to understand each other effectively. Whether you want to learn more about someone's culture as you share a meal or have a more intense conversation about racism and other injustices, this book will give you the tools to help. Honest Conversations is an acronym that lays a blueprint to talk with a mission to understand and not just to win. There is progress from information to inspiration to impartation when two people gather to learn, not just prove. The goal is to understand, not to win. Yeah. So okay, I'm mad hype about it. So there's a big mission behind it. I'm sorry, Miss Chrissy, I think I interrupted you.
No, I love it. I love it. It's so good. I'm curious, like in the midst of writing this, or maybe now that you've written it, in your opinion, what are the one or two hardest things to talk about?
Oh, man. The hardest thing to talk about is being, let me answer that in two ways. The hardest thing to position yourself into a place is where you have to prove to someone that the validity of your circumstance is real. And so like I found myself in situation which brought me to even writing this book that I'll get tired of being in places where I had to prove to the person that I'm talking to that racism is still a thing, right? Or that my tears are valid, my situation and the dynamics that have happened to me is real. So I think from the hardest things to talk about for my own experience as a Black man is my own Black lived experience. So, which hence is why I wrote the book in a way to ensure that hey, before we have an honest conversation, before two people gather together, every party of the group needs to read the book, right? It's a very short read, right? And that's just to get them all on the same page. So there can be a level of psychological safety to have the conversation. So yeah, the issues of, for my experience is issues of my lived experience with racism and just navigating those spaces. And also another really hard conversation that people are having is the topics of like politics, the topics of, you know what I mean? So this is the real hard issues where people tend to throw out honor out the window. People refuse to be observant. People refuse to be kind. They throw out empathy. There's a lack of sincerity, and they entered in a conversation with a lack of a teachable spirit. So thus they began the conversation to prove rather than to understand, and they removed the area of discovery to know the person because they believe that their own thought is valid. So I'm trying to diffuse some of these, I guess, giants in the room so there can be a safe place for there to be a discovery of who the person is.
We'll be right back.
The Gravity Podcast is sponsored by the Gravity Formation Course, our 12-month cohort-based training in practical spiritual formation, where you'll learn how to notice how God is already at work in your life so you can participate more fully in the life that God shares with us. It is a discipleship process that goes beyond just gaining more knowledge and trying out some new practices. In the Gravity Formation Course, we go below the surface of our lives so that we can notice and name our deepest desires in God's presence and to discern how God is at work in those desires to lead us toward holistic flourishing, more transformation, more life, more joy, more love. We've trained hundreds of people from all over the world in this formation framework, and it's helped many people to have a sense of God at work in their lives and learn to be more at home in God's love. If you'd like to learn more, go to gravitycommons.com/formation.
Let's get back to the show. I'm guessing there's some listeners right now who maybe have had a similar situation with their social location. So maybe they're not a Black man. Maybe they are. Maybe it's like somebody who tried to conceive and have kids but couldn't, and now they're living sort of as a single person or a married person without children, and it's hard for others to know, like, this is what my experience is and it's valid. I wonder, and there's, you know, a myriad other maybe social locations that people have where it's like others don't understand, but they think they know, and so they want to tell me about me, to me. And I wonder, like, Timothy, I know you've had that, if you've had that conversation once, you've had it 10,000 times. Like, how do you honor somebody like that? Like, how do you honor somebody who wants to white-splain to you that your perspective about racism is wrong?
Come on. Oh, that's a tough question.
Like, what do you do? You know, maybe even tell us, like, how you've done it wrong. Or things you've tried that haven't worked, but like, what does it mean to honor that person?
Yeah, that's why, and I write about this in the book. I don't want to unintentionally write a book that's going to position someone in unsafe places. I don't want to arm the narcissist that's looking for an opportunity to tee off on somebody, which is why there has to be a level of mutual agreement before someone can even enter this conversation. I didn't write this book to put someone in an unsafe room with an abuser, so to speak, right? Or the bully in which they already tried to run from. I wrote this book for the individuals who are in a, who are already in a mindset that they're going to discover. Right. And so, because here's the thing, there's already individuals, even on, even in our spaces of faith, that would believe that even talking to someone that believes different than you, votes different than you, have a different lifestyle than yours. And if you, a bad company corrupts good character, so to speak, then that in and of itself is a wrong thing to do. So to answer that aspect is that I want to encourage every person to make sure that you feel safe to even have the depth of conversations with the individual talking to you, and not the person inviting you into these honest conversations is using a weaponized attempt to tee off on you with their own talking point perspectives. Secondly, I have a chapter in the book called I Don't Know, right? And I don't know, I think it's a powerful thing we can give to each other. If we enter into a conversation with I don't know, then we are going to be in a place to discover, not to prove. So if you're having this honest conversation with the person with who's already in a right place, in the right spirit, with the right motives, I think it is easier to honor that person. And show a level of respect to one another, to which you can view that person even as a human. So it's hard sometimes, Pastor Matt, that, that we even have these conversations because, but there are still people in this world that still view people as three-fourths of a man. There's still conversations that views immigrants as less than. There's still individuals that view those who are practicing Islamic faith or the Muslims or the Arab generations and people in the nation, that they view them all as terrorists. So that person will never extend a place of honor because they don't even view them as people. So that's what I'm saying. Before you have an honest conversation with an individual, just making sure that this is someone you already feel safe with, not a person you're trying to find safety in.
Yeah, that's good.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Does.
I just want to reflect, like, I don't think many of us were taught how to identify safe people. And then many of us weren't taught that we actually have, we can use our agency to deny access to our bodies of people who are unsafe. Like, those two things seem to be like humanity 101, like basic stuff, like learn that before kindergarten. You know what I'm saying?
Straight
but
up.
I am, my nervous system right now is telling me that I think that was never really explicitly taught to me. And so I've made many mistakes, A, not knowing how to perceive safety, and B, not knowing that I have the authority over my body to tell unsafe people no.
Ooh, bars,
dude. Oh man,
even the whole idea of, I think in Christian circles it's been taught to be nice, not in the way you're talking about, Timothy, but like you couldn't say no, even if your body felt it, even if everything was like, it didn't matter if it was an adult or another person.
Yeah, you're being mean.
Yes. And so we were not taught to pay attention to that.
Yeah, and then narcissists, like you talked about earlier, Timothy, narcissists just take advantage of that. A bunch of nice people who won't tell them no, and then they get, you know, hurt.
Absolutely. That is so awesome y'all bring that up. That is the exact reason why I take the time, when I get into that nice chapter, I take the time to talk about how it's not being nice, we're being kind. Kind is honest, even when it's uncomfortable, right? Nice is a performative. Nice to me. To me, kindness is a peacemaker. Nice is a peacekeeper, right?
That's
you're in scripture. We misquote a verse all the time. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacekeepers. That's not what the Bible says. Blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes, in order to make peace, conflict is required. So, if I'm going to make peace in this situation, I can't revoke the opportunity for honesty. No, kindness, right, is still saying a hard thing in a loving way. right? It is a fruit of the spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? It doesn't, being a follower of the Lord doesn't mean we're a doormat, doesn't mean we're a punching bag to someone else. It doesn't mean we put ourselves in unhealthy, inappropriate situations. Hence, once again, I think having a honest vetting of the person you're talking with before you enter into a honest conversation, whether they're strangers or whether they're friends, whether they're someone that you just don't know, that you're in a place of discovery, just making sure you're in that in an environment into which, again, that kindness is number one, but you can still, like I said, have autonomy over your own body. But can I say something really fast about something about navigating what is safe or not?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The KKK used to be considered a denomination of Christianity, right? The Ku Klux Klan was considered a denomination of Christianity, right? And back in the day, not too far gone now, not black and white pictures way back when, right? And I'm talking about your grandparents and that sort of age. And so your police officers was a part of the Klan, the teachers were part of the Klan, right? Especially in Indiana, right? And all these different areas and things of that nature of the area. And it was just part of normal culture. So, but how can you differentiate between a church that practices that sort of ideologies when they use the same symbols? The Klan used the cross in their churches. The Klan used the Bible in their churches. The Klan preached Jesus in their churches. So how do you navigate a place in a space in which is safe? If the other place of the people who are safe are always silent. So that's what I'm saying. It's very important before you enter into a conversation that there's like, or have your own honest conversation before you enter into the conversation, there's a place where both parties will sign a level of commitment to say, hey, I'm going to adhere to these particular standards. So the person you already talking to has already vocalized that, hey, this is a safe individual in which I can have this place of discovery. So again, I hope I'm communicating in a way where I'm expressing the heartbeat of this, because I do not want this to be an instrument that brings someone in an unhealthy situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I appreciate that, Timothy, because I think that there is an instinct that I've seen, in today's, political, religious climate to sort of jump to niceness or to jump to kind of politeness as an answer to some of these issues. And so I think that's a really important thing, especially as you're trying to talk about how to actually have hard conversations, how to invite people into, talking across difference and all of those kinds of things. I think there's a way of doing that you're trying to articulate that's really important and is different from a way of doing that just papers over those differences and doesn't tell the truth about those differences and kind of uses that politeness or that niceness as an excuse for a lack of boundaries, like you were saying before, allowing someone to kind of walk all over you or take advantage of your goodwill and sort of enter into a conversation when they're not actually agreeing to the same kinds of parameters that you're trying to lay out here.
Absolutely.
I wonder if you could share with us, we've talked about, trying to find, make sure you're not trying to make someone into a safe person through a conversation, make sure they are a safe person. But I wonder if you've ever made the mistake of entering into a conversation where you assumed it was safe and realizing midway through that, oh, this person is not, interested in learning. They're not interested in, there's a difference of nothing good will come anymore from this conversation. And I wonder if you've had to just tap out at some point. And I wonder if you could, maybe share, how do you do that? How do you do that well? And how do you recognize when things become unsafe?
Bro, that is the story of my life. Again, kindness... I'm sorry, niceness is a lullaby that is very quickly can put your discernment to sleep. And especially if it's familiar. So here's the thing. I live giving people the benefit of the doubt till I no longer have a doubt to benefit. Right. And again, most of my adult life, I've been traveling around the nation, being in places where I was the only one who looked like me. So thus you bring those relationships. And, but since 2016, a little before, whatever, where people have been emboldened to finally be honest, and you very quickly found out that they loved me, they tolerated me, or maybe loved me as a Black person, but hated Black people, right? My wife is first generation immigrant from Mexico, right? And hearing them, the people that I would call quote unquote mentors and voices, I felt betrayed into a way like, man, you really think this way? I've definitely been lullabied by this perspective that they were safe. But looking back, I've learned that, hey, I need to take the initiative to ask questions, not waiting for someone to show me an answer. Right. And so hence why, again, I think having that commitment, talking to the individual ahead of time, maybe asking them questions that only you would know, say, hey, just figure out if it's safe for you. And again, I'm not saying having a conversation with someone who just believes everything that you believe, because again, sometimes that's how it defeats the purpose. But again, you want to ensure that, again, that you're not creating an answer when all you have is their silence to go after, right? Make a decision based upon their truth, but you don't know until you ask. Hope that answers your question, what I'm saying.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
Timothy, I've got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we're on this podcast. You're with three white people, and we're talking about having honest conversations, talking to understand and not to win. And I think a lot of times, even in a podcast, we set the stage, right? We come up with these questions, we ask you. I'm wondering if we could just reverse that for a second and for you to school us and tell us, like, what do you want us to understand? Like, what do we need to understand from you?
Well, let me tell you this. I'm and those who are listening, I'm amongst the company of some real ones, okay? They some real ones. And those who know what I'm talking about will know what I'm talking about. I don't need any more explanation. Y'all some real ones. So I live in Florida, and I remember when everything was going down here, Florida, the memes are true. I'll just put it that way. The political climate is mad crazy. Yeah, I mean, navigating, it's they got signs that do not molest the alligators. Like, yo, all they got signs for a reason. Florida is just Florida. Mm. Florida be Floridian for real. Mm. But I remember just trying to navigate, right? Because I had to deal with the truth of the environment in which I found familiar, that everyone who said they loved me didn't care for me, that their thought of unity meant my silence. And I remember getting a recommendation from Pastor Josh Hawkins. Shout out to Pastor Josh Hawkins from Fremont Assembly and up in the cornfields of Indiana. And he recommended y'all's podcast to me. What is a book called? The Christian Manifesto. The Christian Manifesto. It's a white cover. I think Lee Camp.
Oh yeah, Lee Camp.
What's the name of the book?
What's the name of the book? Scandalous Witness.
There it is. Yeah. Scandalous Witness. The subtitle is a Christian Manifesto
for Christians or something like that.
Yeah. Dope book. Because I was at a place. I'm like, I'm a pastor at a church that. Anyways, and So navigating all these places, I'm like, am I the only one like who believes like this? Like, I don't know. Again, I didn't vote for former President Trump. I don't follow the ideologies, but every single place that I was at was telling me that if you're not a real Christian, if you're not doing this and over there, I'm like, what in the world? So, and I came across y'all's podcast, listened to the book, read the book, but here's the kicker. I flew to Indiana. And y'all gave me the time of day. Y'all met with me, right? And I was such at a place where, hey, I just need to know, I need to meet real people who look different than me, that has followed some kind of like logical, what I would believe some logical ideology that I was taught as a believer, that to love the God with all your heart, soul, mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, regardless of what your labor look like, votes like, act like, dress like, believes like, prayers like, regardless of their identity, gender affirming, you fill in the blank, right? That we're all called. This is the life of Jesus. So I found safety not through theory, but through experience. Y'all broke bread with me. The Bible says, again, they went to house breaking bread and just multiplied. The church grew because of authentic relationship and transparent conversations that grew from a place of real authentic encounter. And that is what I'm really hoping to take place in honest conversations. So my goal is, after someone reads the book and they have their honest conversations, that there's a portion here where they have to jot down their notes. They take their what they experienced in that conversation. But the next thing they need to do, they have to make sure they grab the journal that's accompanying with the book, because it has leading questions to bring you through a series of introspection, right? So you're actually learning and going through your own biases, preconceived ideas, and things of that nature, so you can leave that conversation or that experience better, more enlightened, more educated, in which you came. So yeah, this book is not only for those who wanting to have a hard conversation. This book is for those who realize that you can't even talk to your mom and dad for real, and you want to have a real, true conversation with them. And also, if you just want a place to have a friendly conversation of discovery. So anyway, circle all back to say all of that, Miss Christie, is that thing I want y'all to know I want to give you y'all's flowers. Because you have a stranger who listened to a podcast, jumped on the flight because real recognizes real. And so I just want to tell you, encourage you all to keep doing what y'all were doing. But y'all raise y'all's anchor, you hoisted your sail, and y'all are about that life for real. And you're creating a spaces where other people can find a safe place to sit and eat. Because there's nothing more frustrating to realize that they found you a seat instead of saved you one, when you're amongst company who tolerated your presence instead of celebrated your existence. So I'm appreciative of this time, and I've really much to say regarding that. I know that's a mouthful, so I'll be quiet.
No, thank you.
And now, a word from a sponsor.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
All right, let's get back into our conversation.
You know, it is hard to receive affirmation, I think, especially public affirmation.
Yeah.
And I think it's a spiritual discipline to not make self-deprecating remarks and just receive it. So I'm not going to make the 64 jokes in my head, half of which are PG-13. And I just want to
And the other say, half are R.
Yep, the other half are definitely. Yep. And I just want to say thank you.
No doubt.
Yes.
Thanks, Timothy.
Thank you. It's very encouraging to hear that. So
yeah,
appreciate it.
Timothy, tell us a little bit about where people can find your the book and the journal, and then tell us a little bit about where people can find you.
Yeah, most definitely.
On the internet.
Most definitely. So yeah, you can pick up the book. They're on Amazon. And I can't encourage this enough, is that you need to buy, don't just buy the book, you need to buy the journal. If you just buy the book, half the work is halfway done. Right. The introspection is very important. You can go to Amazon and type in Honest Conversations and you can find the book from there. Or you can go on our website, www.tmmonline.org/books. And you can see our ministry, our traveling ministry, and all the other books and stuff we have. We also we have a publishing company called TMM Publishing. We're a full lifecycle co-publishing company. You can visit our website, www.tmmpublishing.com. Like, we don't take out any royalties. We don't claim into any intellectual property. We remove all the middlemen, so you get your book at wholesale pricing. We don't, you know what I mean? We most people we work with, we as a developmental editor, we help you to create your book from the very beginning, so you don't have to have a full manuscript, just an idea. So you can find me there as well. And I think you asked me one more question, my dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you have like a, where else? I mean, is that the best place to find you? Like in terms of how, like, I know that you still speak sometimes in different places. Yes, you've written other books. You know, how can people find out about that?
Yeah, you can for speaking and all other books, you can go to www.tmmonline.org. Yep. Yeah. Tmmonline.org. So
awesome.
But yeah, well, go ahead, bro. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, your friendship means a lot to me.
My dude.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's what's up.
Yep. And I don't know, man. I don't think, when I think about you going into hundreds of Assembly of God churches as a Black evangelist and having to patiently, kindly, tenaciously receive, you know, things from people that aren't true, and how then the sort of the holy crucible of holding that, storing up in your body for them what's lacking in the cross of Christ, then creates this resource for all of us to become people who are willing to yield, which is part of the gift that's from the wisdom from above. It's also part of the love that Paul acclaims in 1 Corinthians 13, that there's a willingness to change. And so anyway, I just want to commend your work, Timothy, your character, your ministry, because you. I think we all need, we need handles on how to change. The book, again, is called Honest Conversations, Talking to Understand, Not to Win. Timothy, thanks for being with us today.
No problem at all. No problem. I'm dreaming big dreams. I am. My dream one day is to walk into a coffee shop, walk into a restaurant, walk into a mom and pops, seeing people wearing Honest Conversation shirts. seeing someone wearing a hijab, talking to the grandma from the cornfields of Indiana in the Midwest, smiling, having in a place of discovery. I want to see. I want to see diversity. I want to see America be what it was promised to be. I want to see the land of the free and the home of the brave, regardless of someone's color, their skin. I want to see a place where everyone isn't tolerated but celebrated, a place where we realize the best foods have diverse seasonings, that we come together, a place where everybody can enjoy. I want to see heaven here on earth, but that's not going to happen as long as we stay in the silos of our own lived experiences, as long as we are entrapped and in a place of entrapment of our own, or of our own, imprisoned by the talking heads that we listen to on the news, like it's crack cocaine. I think that's only going to happen if we step outside of the place of apathy and indifference. If we hear the alarm clock of purpose, and we actually talk to our neighbor. And as an introvert, the struggle is real. I'm not going to front. But it's necessary. So I appreciate you all. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of the Gravity Podcast. I do not take it lightly. And y'all just some dope people. For real, for real.
All right. Thanks, Timothy.
Well, it's been great to have you.
Thank you.
No doubt.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Podcast. If you're finding it helpful, please tell your friends about it. Word of mouth is the best advertising. Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. To join discussions about the podcast and lots more, join us in the Gravity Commons. It's free to join, and you can connect with other listeners to the podcast to talk about faith, spirituality, and whatever else comes up. To join, go to gravitycommons.com/community. The Gravity Podcast is produced by Ben Sturkey and Matt Tebbe. Aaron Sturkey edits and mixes the podcast. You can check out his mixing, engineering, and production work at aaronsturkey.com. We'd love to hear from you. To record a question or a comment for us, go to gravitycommons.com/message and click Start Recording button. You can also email us at podcast@gravitycommons.com.
Catch you next time.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.